Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Maybe you are more bullish on just what the Pirates have than I am, but hearing Greg say it's in there, obviously, with these guys, and if they play to their potential, they could still win the division. I disagree with that, and I wonder if fans feel the same way at 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on what the Pirates are right now and what they need, 412-928-9370. Here is what he said about Key Brian Hayes that troubles me. Actually, let's go to Derek Shelton first on this from Joe and Paul today, that exclusive conversation. Hayes looks like he's a mess. I think it's transferring to his fielding. He does not look like the Gold Glove Award winner that he was last year even. And he's not anywhere close to the hitter he was at the end of last year. Here is Shelton on what's wrong with Key Brian Hayes in the batter's box.
Specifically in terms of the mechanics, I cannot give it to you. I know, Key's done different things with the leg kick, with the tap. Sometimes it's just a feel of how your body is, what your lower body's doing, what your load is. And I think, we've seen him go through different iterations and hit, but sometimes it's just a feel of where he's at. So can't specifically give you an answer of like why he's gone away from it, but I know he's had success with it. He's had success without it. I think right now he's just trying to get a consistent feel for his time.
All right, so that was a specific question about how the toe tap thing in his batting approach seemed to trigger and unleash him last year, and he's not doing that anymore. So Shelton was trying to explain why something that worked last year is no longer part of his batting style right now. I thought Brownie, who in one breath said if these guys play to their potential, they could still win the division even though they're seven out without making any trades. I thought this critique of Key Brian Hayes makes me feel like they're not going to get the best they can possibly get out of Key Brian Hayes again this year. Hayes, even his fielding is not where it was last year.
Yeah, we can't get inside a guy's head. We don't know anything about injury. I don't think he would say it. But for me, I do wonder about the back. I do wonder. Well, the other day in St. Louis, I believe, might have been in Denver, but one of those games, there was one ground ball that hit off of his glove and deflected in the foul territory.
Louis. Yep.
Okay. There was another ground ball that same day that I think went under his glove.
Yep.
To his left, and my reaction, my thought was right away. If you've got a bad back, and thankfully I've not on occasion had to have a back bark on me, but if you've got a kind of a chronic back issue that can crop up and get you, maybe that's one of those things where you're not able to be as. I mean, it would make sense. You're not as mobile and maybe not able to get to certain balls that you could in the past. So that's all I got for.
Yeah. And Key Brian Hayes not just like making more errors and not getting to balls and not making the spectacular plays like he did last year. The offense is just abysmal. It's two homers, 16 RBIs, 308 on base percentage, which is below average. And the slugging is really where he's hurting. There's no power. It's 9 extra base hits in 49 games. So project that out. That's 30 extra base hits for an entire season. Thereabouts. And that's if he were to play 150 games. I mean, he's not going to get there. So I hope that the Pirates are not thinking, because Sawinski's done it before, as Greg said, and he knows it's in there, and Tellez has broken out of the slump, that they can just trust the guys that are already on the team and not give up the prospects and not spend the money on players. The money thing might not even be an issue, though, because a lot of teams will pick up the salaries in order to get the prospects in the deal. So it's honestly, I think, more about the prospects than it is about adding to the payroll. I hope that that's really not the philosophy that we're going to see between now and when the deadline gets here, which is still about 6 weeks away. 412-928-9370. Also breaking Pirates news, Jake Lamb, you remember him. He was hitting 400 earlier in the season. Well, he asked the Pirates to release him today, and they did. He was granted his release. His numbers have tailed way off. He's now hitting 290 at AAA, but you remember his numbers were off the charts, and they stood by Tellez, which now is looking like a good move. But I would understand why this guy would not want to be in the Pirates organization anymore if they're not going to call you up when you're hitting 400 a month into the season while the guy a level ahead of you is hitting 100 with one home run. You're probably never going to get called up unless there's a catastrophic injury, and maybe still not even then. So he wanted a fresh start with somewhere else. That was a big topic a month and a half ago, was why won't they give Jake Lamb a shot? The guy does have a 30 home run season. I guess you could say if Jake Lamb, like Greg said, of Jack Sawinski, it's in there somewhere. If he's done it before, he can do it again. Well, the Pirates didn't want to give him that chance, and so Lamb asked for his walking papers today. 412-928-9370. Let's get into some of these Pirates calls here, starting with Steve in Gibsonia. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how are you today?
Hey, man.
I think they should go out there, a first baseman and a right fielder, because they don't have enough power whatsoever, and they're always too late with their free agents. Their free agents always like,
okay,
5 years
so if
too
they
late.
Don't do anything with Skeens and Jones and Keller, and they make no moves, and they just keep the team where they're at, they just stand pat, you don't think they can make the playoffs, Steve?
No, they don't have enough hitting.
And you still want Tellez replaced, even though he's hitting over 400 this month?
Yes.
And why is that?
He's going to be out here anyway next year.
But if you're trading for guys that are rentals, they're not going to be on the team next year either.
True.
All right, thank you, Steve. Here's Dave in Cannonsburg. Hello, Dave.
Playoffs? Playoffs? Are you talking playoffs with the Pirates? Those wheels are going to come off long before that All-Star break. I'm telling you, man. Got to rebuild the whole team from the top up, starting with the ownership.
Have you heard about this great player out of Steubenville, Ohio, that they're considering drafting with the ninth pick?
I think they should go for it. Anything that comes out of Ohio is great.
Like what?
Like the Ohio State.
Yes.
Like the Cleveland Browns. Like Joe Burrow. Like your favorite quarterback, Big Ben. Everything comes from Ohio. That's the synergy of all things fine.
Who is the biggest celebrity to ever come out of Ohio, Dave?
Johnny the Barber, of course.
Anything else?
Ohio.
Thank you. Did you know that was him?
No, I haven't caught on yet. I mean, once you started talking to him, I figured it out. But when he called in, I did not realize.
Do you think he's doing the thing that Starkey does to Pompeiani, where he hands the phone to like his, I don't know, I don't think Johnny could have a wife, but do you think he hands the phone to people around him to try to...
Just another guy that he's
tricky
nearby. Yeah, maybe. Perhaps. Trying to pull one over on me.
Well, we get a prank call in there, and we get someone who is saying that they need a first baseman and a right fielder in order to make the playoffs. So I guess a mixed bag to start this conversation. If you want to keep the conversation going, you can at 412-928-9370. The topic's a pretty easy one. We just had Greg Brown on last hour say that he thinks if this team plays to their potential, they can make the playoffs without making any trades. I want to know if you agree with that, yes or no, 412-928-9370. They can play to their, if they play to their potential, they can make the playoffs without making any moves, 412-928-9370. We also have people on the line now that want to bring up Paul Skeens and troubleshoot and try to figure out a good nickname for him.
That is correct. Yes.
Urkel wants to do that. Hello, Urkel.
Hey, how you doing?
I think
I came up with a pretty good one. So he played for 2 years with Air Force.
Is this appropriate for Air, or is this something where I'm going to have to dump you because you're going to curse or use something in... inappropriate, inflammatory, Urkel.
No, it's absolutely appropriate.
Is your name actually Urkel, like the character from Family Matters back in the day, like the nerdy kid?
Yeah, that's my actual last name. I actually met him a couple years ago in person.
Did you say, I am a real-life Urkel?
Yeah, I asked him if he had ever met anybody that had the same last name as his character. He said no. I said, well, today's your lucky day. He said, bull crap, let me see your ID. And, yeah, I got a picture of me and him laughing at my ID together.
Can you post that? Can you post that picture on social media so I can see it for myself? Because I'm now very interested in what Urkel looks like these days. Has he aged well?
Yeah. He kind of. I mean, he definitely still looks like Steve Urkel. Yeah, but he looks like a man. You know.
Yeah.
And he was a pretty cool dude. Yeah.
Cool. All right. You said you had a nickname for Skeens?
Yeah. So he played those 2 years in Air Force.
Right.
And I believe he said he wanted to get into a military career afterwards. So
I've heard that rumor.
I thought a good nickname for him would be the Armed Force.
The Armed Force.
Yes, it's kind of a double entendre. You know what I mean? It deals with the armed forces, and he's definitely a force of the
arm,
and he's armed with an arm.
All right, I'm not going to crap on a guy who met Steve Urkel and was excited to share that story. The Armed Force. That doesn't exactly roll off the tongue like Splendid Splinter.
Yeah.
Or Jack Splat or Big Ben.
That's like a 3 out of 10, maybe.
Harsh.
I liked, you guys were workshopping Top Gun for a little while, but then found out you couldn't use that, right?
Well, because it's a Navy thing and not an Air Force thing.
Yeah, that would have been...
Who's really going to take the time to call... you know, shenanigans on that. I think, you know what? I think I'm going to ask Paul if he's cool with that nickname.
Yeah, if he gives you the thumbs up, then it's got to be a good
go. Now, you can't give yourself your own nickname, but I think in his case, he should have some say in it. You know, not that I asked Deontay.
He can reject suggestions.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's get back to more calls. If you have a Paul Skeens nickname suggestion, I guess I'll take that at 412-928-9370. And reacting to what Greg Brown said about the Pirates and thinking that if this team plays to their potential, they don't need to make a trade. They can get to the playoffs with what they've got. Hey, I know it's maybe not the most popular thing, but do you agree with that? 412-928-9370. We want to make a case for that. Text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. Be back with more right after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This.
The only difference, though, in this particular case, and I agree with you on many cases when it comes to play, the only difference for me is we don't know how badly that ankle is barking. In fact, he referenced on his radio pregame show that you'll hear tonight, he referenced I asked the difference between Ellie De La Cruz and O'Neill Cruz and what he has seen, and he mentioned that Ellie runs more, but he said that is probably a product of what O'Neill went through last year in terms of the injury. So I think the injury is coming into play more than anyone will say.
All right, so that was Greg Brown and his justification as to why O'Neill Cruz isn't in the lineup tonight. They're treating him like a platoon player. His splits against left-handed pitchers are terrible. And if they had an alternative like they do at first base or right field, I would say you're trying to win every game, put the best hitter out there, the hell with an experiment of trying to get a guy to hit against lefties, even though we can't. Well, tonight it's Jared Triolo at shortstop, and he ain't any better against lefties. He can't hit him either. He can't hit, period, this year. So I'd rather have O'Neill Cruz out there, hoping that he runs into one, and then I don't think a lefty will be in the game the entire time. That's the other point. And you might say, well, when the lefty comes out of the game, sub Cruz in. I don't have confidence in Shelton doing that, as evidenced by what happened in St. Louis last week when he never pinch hit Nick Gonzalez, Connor Joe, or Andrew McCutchen in that loss to St. Louis. We've been here before where they take the first game of a series behind Paul Skeens and then lose the next two to a division rival. Better not happen against the Reds tonight and then tomorrow afternoon at PNC Park. Jason Mackey is there, and he's going to join me at 5:30. Mackey has an article up on the Post-Gazette's website, a conversation with Andrew McCutchen, where McCutchen said, in my mind, this isn't my last year. As long as my body holds up and I'm not embarrassing myself out there, I want to keep going. I hope he keeps going, not for nostalgia reasons, not because I think that he should have a key to the city and a lifetime contract. Andrew McCutchen is 37 years old, and he's hitting like he's 27. Well, not 27. He's hitting like he's 32, let's say, right now. His OPS is 750, which is well above league average this year because it is a hitting-suppressed environment. If you followed baseball, the average OPS is in the low sevens, and he has 10 home runs, which leads the team. And he also is first in on-base percentage, which is the name of the game, and that's why he hits leadoff. Now, you'd like for another young guy to take the bull by the horns and be more equipped to be at the top of the lineup and do all those things, but that player has not emerged. Cruz has the power. He does not have the consistent on-base percentage. Nick Gonzalez, good, not great in that regard. He should hit higher in the lineup when he plays, even though he isn't tonight. I think he's batting maybe fifth. I'd have to double-check that. Let's see. He is hitting fourth. Good. He's hitting cleanup. That's about where he should be. So, yeah, I mean, McCutchen got off to an awful start, but he has recovered just like Brian Reynolds. And I would take him on. I would take him back for $5 million next year if he wants to do that. 412-928-9370. Let's talk to nice. Chuck in Uniontown is with us. Hello, Chuck.
Hello, Tony. Thanks. It's great to talk. It's been a while since I've talked to you, and I first of all, let me say, can I say this? I was talking to your buddy, Jody McDonald, in CBS in New York the other night, and I had to tell him the Willie Mays story that you like.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. From when you went to a game at Forbes Field back in the day. That's one of my all-time favorites of yours.
He homered to beat us that day.
Yep.
But anyway, the Pirates, Tony, what they need to do is simply this. The organization as a whole has to have the will to win. They need to stop being lazy, stingy, and stupid, and go out and get the things that they need to get. I disagree a little bit with Brownie. They may not necessarily be on the ball club, but they may be on other teams that are sellers, like the White Sox and people like that. They need to go out and get them now and stop talking about it. There is no time like the present. The time to do it is now. And there is no excuse for failure. You know, with a pitching staff like that, who wouldn't want to see that in the postseason? Everybody
right. They were asking that question on Fox last night, too, in the pregame, that they're a dangerous team because of a short series with those starting pitchers. If they just stay with what they've got, if there's a stand pat mentality with the Pirates, Chuck, what do you think is likeliest for them? What's the likeliest outcome? Do they make the playoffs with the players they have?
No. But Pony, I say it again. To go back to it, I hate to keep this team has to stop being concerned about all its money and everything else. They need to stop being lazy, stingy, and stupid. They can do it if they want to. They don't need the Cardinals to make fun of them year after year. they can be as good or better as the Cardinals.
Chuck, your fandom goes back to the 50s and 60s. Who does Paul Skeens remind you of?
Bob Veal.
Bob Veal. He was a big power pitcher for the Pirates.
Yeah, except one was Skeens is right and Bob Veal was left.
And Veal had some control issues as well, no? Walks?
Yeah, but Pony, he could fire that thing. In fact, I was reading a book about Bob Gibson, the Cardinal pitcher in
yes.
the 60s.
Yep.
He was saying that he thought the pitcher that threw the hardest was Jim Maloney of the Cincinnati Reds, but he thought that Bob Veal was not far behind. And remember that story about the Pirates playing the Cardinals one night at Ford Field, where Lou Brock would not get into the batter's box until Bob Veal put his glasses on.
That's a good one. Chuck, you're the best. Thanks for calling in. Harsh words if the Pirates do nothing. From a fan for life in Chuck in Uniontown. Here is Tom in Penn Township. Hello, Tom.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
You bet, man.
So I don't really feel very confident with this lineup. They're not making the playoffs unless, I mean, we got to think of first base and catcher. I mean, we get two good bats to replace where we're weak, and our defense isn't looking good at catch.
But I go back to what Greg said. I don't think for catcher, they've got DeLay, Grandal, and Davis. I think that they'll keep those guys around. I think they'll justify it as Grandal handles the pitching staff well. DeLay is an above-average backup catcher. And Davis is their future, and they're not going to put him on the back burner. I would be stunned if they made a move for a catcher. And I think they legitimately believe, Tom, that Tellez has figured it out. I think they're content with him now.
Then if that's the case, then they got to at least get one bat somewhere. But then the other issue that they have is the Jack Suwinski whole trial and error thing. He's just watching too many strikes. That's my opinion, but you guys are probably watching
your opinion. It's the world's opinion. Of course he is. Yes, you don't second guess yourself. He's hitting a .176 with 57 strikeouts in 59 games. No, you're right about that. There's no, you don't have to apologize for that or qualify your answer by saying you're not an expert. You watch baseball, you see the guy strike out a ton and hit the occasional home run, but there's been only valleys this year with him. And Chris has brought this up a lot. Jack Suwinski, when they traded for him, he was not thought of as an everyday major league hitter. He turned into one the last 2 years, and maybe water has found its level again. My point is I would not bank on that. I would not just trust him to figure it out. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills, Key and Peters Township. A Bucko Minute with Jason Mackey is next, but first a headline from Sean Myers. Bucko Minute Time, and the fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, provided trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. So we find Jason Mackey, who I guess didn't want to go on the video stream for our YouTube viewers because he has this horrible mustache that Derek Shelton was making fun of on the midday show today. Is that true?
I'm ashamed, Pony.
Shelton made fun of it, and then Zeiss went into some diatribe about something.
Some diatribe about me or mustaches?
No, just maybe about both. How like he didn't know about it or something. It kind of got a little convoluted.
It wasn't on his planner this week.
Ah, that's what it was. Yes.
Ah, we got planner talk again. All right.
Yeah.
I got to go back and listen.
Is this a constant thing, planner talk, among guys in the office? Is this this sounds like inside Post-Gazette baseball. Is what this
sounds
they
like
to me.
We're required to send in a organization, you know, what we're going to do for a given week. And I send in not an extensive one, but I mean, I'm pretty detailed about stuff I'm working on, stuff I want to work on. And Joe and Paul like to make fun of me for that. I call it the Mackey planner and sometimes the Mackey scheduler or indexer or organize. I've been picking a different word every week. And so they like to make fun of me for it.
Got it. So they tried to drag. But so the mustache thing is true or not?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is. I had a mustache. I have not shaved it yet. Which,
and it is because of Skeens?
Yes and no. I was growing a goatee. I got tired of it, and Skeens was pitching, and so I thought one day of mustache.
What does your wife think of it?
Yeah, she absolutely hates it. And if I don't shave it by tonight, I'll probably be sleeping outside or on the couch or somewhere that is not where I want to be sleeping.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I'm in a slump like Jack Sawinski when it comes to that kind of stuff. So
that might be too much information, Andrew. I'm just saying.
I was talking about my sex life. That's in case people were wondering.
too much information.
We just had Brownie on, and I asked him for what the ceiling was for this team if they stand pat and don't make a move. And he said if they play to their potential, they can still win the division. Do you agree with that?
Without adding, without doing anything?
Yep.
I don't think they can. I think this team can be a good team. I think they can maybe compete for a wild card. Winning the division without doing anything, I have an issue with that.
So you think they can still make? You think this team can make the playoffs as currently assembled?
Yeah, I think it can come close. Sure. I mean, I think we're talking about the difference between two or three wins. So yes, I think they can make the playoffs. Do I think they're going to win the division as currently assembled? No. And that's what the question was.
Yeah. What makes you think this team though could get to the win total that would get them in as the last wild card with what
they
have?
Well, one, that number is like 84, 85. It's really low. But two, they solved the most serious parts of this, right? Like they have a good starting rotation, a good, even four guys there. The back end of their bullpen has really been a lot better. I think they can scratch out enough offense.
You do.
But to be competitive, yes. To be competitive. I should qualify.
They've got the second lowest OPS in the National League ahead of only the Marlins, Jason.
I know, but that's because they were absolutely pathetic early on. If you look at what has happened since coming out of that, and I mean, there's a May 11th is a date that I've looked at a decent amount. I'm not saying that's an entire season, but like that's 5+ weeks, Andrew, of like actually scoring a decent amount of runs. I mean, I understand what the balance is. I do think what they've done lately is more representative of who they are. Like Andrew McCutchen was absolutely terrible, at least results wise, in those first couple of weeks. Like May 11th coincides with, you know, he's at the top of the lineup and actually productive. O'Neill Cruz has been better. Rowdy Tellez has been better. Nick Gonzalez has been up here, et cetera. Like it's a different offense than it was.
Man, Brownie made an ominous point that he thinks part of the reason why Cruz isn't in there tonight is because his ankle isn't 100%. Which freaked me out because.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't disagree with Brownie, and I understand I'm in the same way of thinking as you are. Sorry if I cut you off.
Yes, and also thinks that Hayes is struggling because his back isn't right.
Yeah.
And that's another major problem.
I agree. I don't think Hayes is healthy. I don't think Cruz is 100% healthy. I mean, a lot of guys aren't healthy throughout the season, but like, do I think it's hurting their production? Yes. I do. I think they could be like O'Neill. They're trying to deal with it. Like we've seen him limping intermittently. I don't think that's a much lesser deal than Hayes, but I mean, this is not the same Hayes that we saw over the final 2 months of last year. Not even close.
Tell me who is the most likely, if they are to make a trade, to lose his at bats to the guy that gets traded for Henry Davis when healthy.
Oh, sorry.
Rowdy Tellez or Jack Sawinski.
Jack Sawinski. I think that's the most – like Henry Davis, they still need to play. And I think they want to play. I think there's still an element of not necessarily knowing what he is. Rowdy has been a lot better, and I think they want and expect that to stay the same. But outfield-wise, it makes sense for them to add there. And I would add Michael A. Taylor to that list. Maybe he becomes more of a late-inning defensive replacement. I don't know. But, I mean, if you're going to stash a bat somewhere, to me it's the outfield, which impacts Sawinski. And I do think they want to add
I agree with you. You think they need two outfielders.
Maybe, but, I mean, we'll talk about the Pirates here, right? Like, I'm not trying to prop them up that they're going to be, like, the biggest movers and shakers at the deadline. If they get one, I'd be fine. But I think they realize there's a deficiency with the offense. I think they realize they're not getting enough.
So they're not going to look at Sawinski like they looked at Tellez, like, hey, he hit a bunch of home runs last year and the year before that. Let's just ride the storm out.
I don't think so. And I think there's different reasons for that too, Andrew. Like, Rowdy has actually shown signs, you know, since I'd argue maybe May 31st when they went up to Toronto, that like things have been better. Jack Sawinski has hit a home run in that time. That's like it. It was a 461 or 459 or whatever the heck it was. Like, it went a long way, but aside from that, has anybody looked at Jack Sawinski's at bats and been inspired by thinking that he's turned a corner?
But well, why would they have faith in Davis this year when they've already sent him down? Mackie, what, Jason, well, why would that be one where it's like, okay, we'll go with this, with the catchers we've got. He's hitting 153 and they've already demoted him this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to roll Henry out, you know, five times a week. I'm just saying that, like, he just got back here, hits a home run, then goes down with the concussion. Like, I think they want to see what that looks like. If that doesn't work, then, yeah, maybe they add Jacob Stallings into the mix. I don't know. Maybe they add another catcher. I don't think that's crossed off. I just think that and there's some time between now and then. I think that, like, when he gets back, they need to give him a run of playing time and see if any of the results he was producing at AAA are going to stick.
Do they comprehend that what happened in St. Louis on Thursday in the eyes of their fans and minds of their fans is unacceptable?
No, I don't think so. You mean about the lineup and pinch hitting?
Yes.
No, I don't. I don't think so. You know what? I'll try to explain it this way. I think this regime came into a situation where they've had to kind of bury their heads in the sand and be immune to criticism, and they're going through a rebuild. Like, they're going to do them.
They're not going through a rebuild anymore, though. This is year five, Jason.
No. I'm not saying they are. I'm saying that through that rebuild, they had to sort of, like, not give a you-know-what about what the external noise was about them. And I think that still lingers. Like, I think they just do not care. They don't think like that. Like,
so they still think that process is good then? Ignoring the, you know, even if you take out of what we think, you still think they feel like the process was good for that game and moving forward more of the same?
Yeah, I think probably they do. I think they are very much of the belief that, like, they're doing the right thing. And you and I are going to disagree with that, and that's totally fine. But what I'm saying is, like, throughout this entire process, they have buried their heads in the sand. And sometimes, like, I'm giving them credit, saying that in a relatively good way, and saying, like,
right, but how about some renewed urgency to win this? Like, now there needs to be urgency to take advantage of this situation right now.
I agree with you. I agree with you 1,000%. And putting it in front of it, like, they have not been, meaning this former regime, has not witnessed all the crap that we've seen here for a number of years. And I don't think they operate with the same emotion as fans sometimes want them to. And I think sometimes that makes sense. And other times in this situation, it frustrates people. And I don't blame people for being frustrated. That was a situation where if you're going to rest one or two guys, fine. But like in the ninth inning, when you have an opportunity to pinch hit somebody and score a run, you got to do it.
Yep.
You got to, like, that's inexcusable. They should be criticized for that. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that, you know, they kind of think
it just doesn't sound like it's a lesson learned thing is all I'm saying from the sounds of it with you.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I don't think they've had like some big come to Jesus moment. They're like, oh, we really screwed up. We got to relook at our process. Just like, you know, they think a lot in terms of analytics, rest, optimizing performance, all that stuff. And that often leads to rest in ways that aren't, you're not applying, you know, what's going on in your head. You're not looking at a pennant race when you're doing that sort of stuff.
All right, Jason, I'll look forward to you sending me the Mackie planner for next week. Thank you.
I'm going to loop you in. All right, buddy.
All right, see ya. There you go, Jason Mackie from the PG. Zangrilli is next. Talk to you tomorrow at 2 p.m. Team signing off.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.